Okay, verse 29 of Joshua 24. And it came to pass after these things that Joshua, the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died, being 110 years old. And they buried him in the border of his inheritance in Timnath-Serah, which is in Mount Ephraim on the north side of the hill of Gaash. And Israel served the Lord all the days of Joshua and all the days of the elders that overlived Joshua, and which had known all the works of the Lord that he had done for Israel. And the bones of Joseph, which the children of Israel brought up out of Egypt, buried they in Shechem, in a parcel of ground which Jacob bought of the sons of Hamor, the father of Shechem, for 100 pieces of silver, and it became the inheritance of the children of Joseph. And Eleazar, the son of Aaron, died, and they buried him in a hill that pertaineth to Phinehas, his son, which was given him in Mount Ephraim. The last events of the book of record in the book of Joshua are the burials of Joshua, Joseph, and Eleazar. Obviously, we know that there's nothing in the Bible there by accident, and God always has a purpose for what He has in God's Word. And so, certainly, these were burials, but there must be a great truth of surrounding these burials that God wants us to think about. And you know, what does a burial represent? What is a body in a grave? What does it represent? Well, you know, the grave represents the end of your life. The grave represents how you lived your life. For a Christian, the grave represents as well the testimony of God's faithfulness throughout your life. You know, there's continual emphasis in the Bible about the end of your life is the real testimony of your life. You know, you think about what it says in Ezekiel. It says, you know, here's a righteous man, and he turns from his righteousness, and he lives in wickedness. What does it say? What does he die? Does he die a righteous man or a wicked man? He dies a wicked man. If a wicked man, a man lives a wicked life and he turns from his wickedness and turns to righteousness, how does he die? He dies as a what? A righteous man. You know, here we have an opportunity to think about our lives and how we are going to end our life. That's a big issue, is how are you going to end your life? How are you going to end your life? You know, some people haven't decided yet. I mean, I'm talking about there's people who we sang the song tonight, almost persuaded. There are some that are almost persuaded, but they're not saved yet. And if they died, they would end up in hell because they ended their life unsaved. You know, there's a lot of Christians who haven't really decided how they're going to end their life. They're indecisive how they are going to end their life. They're still in limbo land. You know, there's some parents who have not decided how they're going to end their life. You know what I mean? They know as long as the kids are around, they better really kind of, you know, pretty close to the straight and narrow Because that would have some really bad consequences if they don't live for the Lord while their kids are around. But in their heart, they haven't decided how they're really going to end their life. They're still indecisive about how they're going to end their life. So they really haven't decided how to live now if they haven't decided how to end their life. You know what I'm saying? And you know, there's young people here. They haven't decided how to end their life. I mean, as long as they're at home, maybe as long as they're in school, as long as they have this pressure to do right, you know, they're going to kind of stay in line. But, you know, they really haven't decided what they're going, how they're going to end their life. You know, there's a long time between right now. Maybe there might be a long time between now and the end of your life. And you know what? What's in between there? Your life will be determined by how you decide to end your life. Now, we have testimony of a couple people here, three people, and it's interesting to look at their at the end of their life. So, first of all, let's go to Joseph. Okay? The Bible tells us, verse 32, and the bones of Joseph, which the children of Israel brought up out of Egypt, buried they in Shechem in a parcel of ground which Jacob bought of the sons of Hamor. So let's go to Genesis 50 and look a little bit at this request of Joseph. Genesis 50. Verse 24. And Joseph said unto his brethren, I die, and God will surely visit you and bring you out of this land unto the land which he sware to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. And Joseph took an oath of the children of Israel, saying, God will surely visit you and shall carry up my bones from thence. And so Joseph died, being 110 years old, and they embalmed him, and he was put in a coffin in Egypt. Now, so here's Joseph. Second to King Pharaoh. You talk about the wealth, the privileges of untold riches. You think of authority, second to Pharaoh. And certainly he saved not only the nation of Israel, but he saved the nation of Egypt from starvation. And under him, all the land of Egypt became the possession of Pharaoh. Pharaoh became mighty rich under his reign, his rule. But what did he think of all of that? What did he think of all of that? We get an insight into what he thought about all of that. When, as he was dying, he said, I don't want to be buried here. I don't want to be buried here. I want to be buried in the land that God has promised the people of God. That's where I want to be buried. I want to be buried in the promised land. And it gives us a real insight into his life. It gives us his insight into his values. It gives us an insight to him what was important in life. And you know what? He died. He died right. He didn't die enamored with Egypt. He didn't die comfortable in Egypt. He didn't die being foreign to the things of God. The things of God were still the most important thing to him. His grave said all of that. His grave said all of that. Your grave will say a lot about your life. Then we also have another grave. We have the grave of Joshua. Now, what about Joshua? This is an important grave in the Bible. Who was Joshua? Joshua's grave was a testimony of his life. Let's go to Numbers 14. Let's go to Numbers 14, verse 30. Here's Joshua's grave in the promised land. Joshua, guess what? Joshua was one of those people in Egypt as a slave. Joshua was one of those people who saw God part the Red Sea. Joshua was one of those people that saw God deliver the people from Egypt and bring them through the wilderness. Joshua was one of those people. In fact, he was one of the only two of the adult men who came up out of Egypt who got into the promised land. That was a pretty unique grave. One man, one of the two men that came up out of Egypt, that got buried in the promised land. One of the two men living. Think of Numbers 14. The people of Israel have said no to the Lord. And they're not, and God says, okay, you said no to me. That's what's going to happen. Verse 28, say unto them, as truly as I live, saith the Lord, as ye have spoken in mine ears, so will I do unto you. Your carcasses shall fall in this wilderness, and all that were numbered of you, according to your whole number, from 20 years old and upward, which have murmured against me, doubtless ye shall not come into the land, concerning which I swear to you to make you dwell therein, save or except Joshua, the son of Jephunneh, and Joshua, the son of Nun. Here he is. Here's one. Joshua. He made it into the promised land. He was buried there. His grave is a testimony that here is a man who did the will of God. Here is a man who had faith to believe and to obey God. That's what his grave said. He could write all over that grave. Faith. A man of faith. A man who did the will of God. A man who experienced God's perfect will. You know what? That's not too common. Was it God's will that all the people of Israel that came out of Egypt, was it all God's will that they go into the promised land? It sure was. Did they get there? Nope. Only Caleb and Joshua. And you could put on Joshua's grave a man who did God's perfect will for his life. That's who Joshua was. That's quite a testimony. You see, the end of your life is the testimony of your whole life. Those graves in the wilderness of those hundreds of thousands of men who said no to God, their graves were a testimony of a people who refused to do the will of God. And Joshua's grave was one of a testimony of a man who did and experience God's perfect will. He obeyed when others didn't. That's quite a testimony, isn't it? What do you want your grave to represent? Sadness? Faith, victory, God's perfect will. You know, our grave represents all of that and more. And then we have the grave of Eliezer. Eliezer, the son of Aaron, verse 33, died. And they buried him in a hill that pertained to Phinehas, his son, which was given him in Mount Ephraim. All right, so who's the father of Eliezer? Aaron. And who came up out of Egypt with Moses? Aaron. He was the high priest. And Aaron dies on the other side of Jordan. He doesn't get to come into the promised land. Now all those men have died that were 20 years and old and upward that said no to God. We're not going to trust you. We don't have faith. We don't believe you. We're not going to risk our life. We're going to save our life. We're not going to risk it for God and for the will of God. And so, no. Well, they all died in the wilderness. And now there was a new generation. And Eliezer represents the new generation. The new generation. The generation that represents your fathers didn't. But you can. Your fathers didn't, but you can. And so the whole book of Deuteronomy was written to this generation. It's a rehearsal of the law. And it's a rehearsal of the law, and now God offers to them what He offered to their fathers. He offered them the opportunity to go into the land. They offered them the opportunity to trust Him. They offered them the opportunity by faith to follow Him. And that generation decided they were going to be different from their fathers. They were going to go into the land. They were going to inherit the promises. Now, Hebrews has a little summary of that thought. Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 12 puts it kind of together. Verse 9, but beloved, we are persuaded better things of you, and things that accompany salvation, though we thus speak. For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love which you have showed toward his name, and that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. And we desire that every one of you show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end, and that you be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. Who through faith and patience inherit the promises. And so Eliezer died and was buried. He represented those who decided to follow God rather than the example, the bad example of their fathers. And so God chooses to tell us about these three graves. Some great lessons. And you know, someday you'll be in a grave. And that grave will tell a lot about your life. In some ways, where you're buried will say a whole lot. I think of Ann Judson, buried there in Burma. Says a lot, doesn't it? Says a lot. Buried in Burma. Says everything about her life. Just read about a missionary, shows you my long memory, can't even remember his name, but just read about him this week. Lost his wife, lost his four children on the mission field. And he lost his wife on the mission field. Those graves say a lot. Continued his work for God, and God used him a great way. Graves say a whole lot. It's an amazing thing, isn't it? What a grave says. You know, when we bought the Mission House property, there was a couple men who were really in favor of it. You know that? There was a couple men that were really in favor of it. I'd have to say there's a lot of people who weren't. But you know, there's a couple men who are really in favor of it. You know why? I'll tell you why. Because they had already decided how they were going to end their life. They had decided that they were going to invest their life in this local church, and they were going to die, God willing, serving the Lord in this church. And you know what? That's why they were in favor of it. Makes sense, doesn't it? Makes a lot of sense. What about you? You know, we can play games with ourselves. But you know, there is a reality that everybody has. A decision about how they're going to end their life. Now, some haven't made that decision. That's right. They haven't made that decision. They still aren't surrendered to God. They still haven't really determined that all their life they're going to live for God. They haven't decided which side of the fence they're going to end their life on, whether they're going to end their life in new evangelical and compromise, or whether they're going to be a fundamentalist and stay true to God no matter what. They haven't decided. You know, they know there's some costs involved, and they just really haven't decided. You know, there's young people that it's pretty obvious. They haven't decided what they're going to do with their life. You know, they got a lot of life of them. You know, there's a lot of issues ahead of them. And it's apparent they haven't decided what they're going to, how they're going to end their life. And you know, that is also, you also may have determined how you're going to end your life. But let me tell you what, that's, it's still precarious. Life doesn't go on without those things being tested. And you may at one time have thought, oh yeah, there's not a doubt about it. I'm going to live for God. But some things have happened in your life, and you're not so sure anymore how you're going to live the rest of your life. You know, you can be here tonight and not only is how you're going to live your life at stake, but where you're going to spend eternity is at stake. That's a long time. You know, I go down to the Quantico Cemetery, and you see gravestones with a fishing pole, a bottle of beer. That's how they ended their life. They didn't end well. And now they're in eternity. Forever. And ever. And ever. And so as we close this message, I challenge you, what have you decided about how you're going to end your life? Do you have certain things in your life? Say, you know, if this happens, or if that happens or that happens, well, you know, I don't think I can follow the Bible. You know, what if there was a divorce? What have you decided? What should I know on? But what are you going to do? You going to follow the Bible? Oh, no. I'm going to take a break. You see? Life is all about how we're going to end our life. That's what life is all about. How we're going to end our life. And tonight the Lord is seeking to speak to your heart about your real relationship to God, trying to speak to your heart about really where you are spiritually, trying to speak to your heart about the fact that your life can end well if you decide, like Joshua, that you're going to wholly follow the Lord no matter what. Amen? And then your grave will be a glorious testimony of the faithfulness of God. And that His promises will be fulfilled. Just as these graves in the promised land were a testimony that God's promises are true. And they're a testimony that the promise of God is true, that there's a place in heaven for those who trust Jesus Christ as their Savior. Let's bow in prayer. Father, we thank you tonight for a very simple truth, but soul-stirring and heart-searching. How will we end? And Lord, there's many here tonight, many young people who have not settled that. There's too many ifs. There's too many what ifs. And there is not, I will follow him at any cost. And Lord, I pray that you would speak to hearts, as many as some face eternity, and it could be tomorrow. And Lord, I pray that you'll give grace to your people. I pray that you give them grace that they would be able to have victory. They'll have faith to trust you, to put their life in a faithful God who fulfills his promises. And thank you that in the Jesus Christ all the promises of God are yea, yea. And now, Lord, we can depend upon you. We can give ourselves to you. And I pray that, Lord, that in your grace that there would be those who get it settled tonight how they're going to die, how they're going to end their life. And it will be a great, great blessing and victory for them from now till then. as they follow, decide to wholly follow the Lord no matter what. With heads bowed and eyes closed, you're here tonight and God is speaking to your heart. And you really haven't really honestly dealt with this issue. Or maybe you have and you went back on your decisions. But God is dealing with you tonight about that reality that you're going to follow Jesus Christ no matter what. No matter what happens in your life, what sad things happen in your life, what discouraging things happen, what costful things happen in your life, whatever painful things might happen in your life, that doesn't matter. You're going to follow Jesus Christ. Whatever temptations come across your path, you're going to follow Jesus Christ. There's no question about it. That is what you have need to decide to do. And wasn't it great that we have that opportunity to make such decisions? And so Jesus said, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. And say, God speaking to my heart about how I'm going to end. And there's certainly many applications of that tonight. But you say, Pastor, pray for me. I am recognizing that I need to make that decision about how I'm going to end my life. Not in the middle of the road, not maybe, but decisively said, I am going to end my life living for Jesus Christ. Doing what's right. Obedient to the Word of God. And in this moment you say, yes, that's how God is speaking to my heart. And by an uplifted hand say, yes, I'm wrestling with that, and I want to do God's will, and I'm surrendering to Him. Okay? Number of different hands. Okay? All right. Praise the Lord. Others? All right. I see those hands. Very important for these young people. Man, that clears the path. That clears the whole issues away. Okay? Praise the Lord. Okay? Maybe you're here tonight, and you say, you know what? I'm not ready to end. I'm not ready to end for the end. I'm not saved. I'm not saved. And maybe you have come to this church all your life, but honestly, you're not ready. You haven't been saved. And God is speaking to your heart. Maybe you're here tonight and you're ready to get that eternity settled. You're not ready for the grave because you need to be saved. Pastor, pray for me. I need to be saved. God is speaking to my heart. Would you pray for me? Anyone else? Anyone here tonight? Just raise your hand. Lord, now I thank you tonight that throughout your word, you give us glimpses of life. You give us a glimpse of our whole life. You give us a glimpse of how we can end our life. And now, Lord, you see many different hands. And, Lord, we realize it's just, in one way, it's just another service. It's another message. And there's going to be many, many more. And many more invitations. But, Lord, in one sense, this is very important. And I pray that, Lord, that you have dealt with precious souls tonight, and that your Spirit is bringing them to a real, definite decision. And I pray that, God, that you would work, and I pray that you would enable, and I pray that you would make the will decisive and make the decision clear. So that it can be made without hesitation. And might you be glorified, Lord, in that freedom and in that victory of surrendering all to Thee and determining to follow Thee no matter what the cost. And then, Lord, I pray for your Holy Spirit to work for those, Lord, who in their heart, even though tonight, that it's not settled. It's not settled what they're going to do with their life. They're waiting on the circumstances. And Lord, I pray that you would deal with those who are in that situation. For certainly, there will be many circumstances that will give them the opportunity to say no to you. And that is a fearful thing. Might, Lord, you give them victory over such thoughts. And might, Lord, they realize there's no greater joy than to end life having fulfilled the will of God, having done the will of God, and been faithful. And so, Lord, we pray your blessing and your work in Jesus' name. Amen.